You're listening to The Record here on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. You're about to hear now a story of domestic violence and a woman who's trying to help. Courtney Weaver met Kenneth Fiawi in 2009. A year into the relationship, Kenneth became abusive. He eventually shot her several times. Courtney is a blues singer here in Seattle, and she's been using her voice to advocate for other survivors. She told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel what happened on the night of the shooting. And a word of caution, you might find these details of domestic abuse disturbing. Courtney says that Kenneth had always been jealous. He was even jealous of her four-month-old cat, Raja. The night of the shooting, Courtney was in her bathroom getting ready for an evening out with some friends. Kenneth did not want her to go.
He ended up grabbing my cat and throwing her against the 8-foot wall that was adjacent my bedroom wall. And I began to just, you know, agree, do everything I could to de-escalate him because I knew he had the gun on him. I'm looking up, and I'd heard 5 shots go off, and I'd covered my ears to shield myself from the bullets. And I just remember seeing his face and the light blaring above me and the broken window behind him. And he just had this blank look on his face of like a bewildered little boy. And he just looked at me and ran out the door and ran up the street. And I jumped up to grab my purse. And I realized that I had a 3-inch hole in my arm. And knowing me, I just kept trying to grab my purse. You know, it's like so inclination. I just couldn't understand why my hands couldn't grip at my purse. And finally, after like the 4th or 5th time, I'm like, well, there's a hole that I can see through to the floor. So I probably should just use my other arm to pick up my purse.
But at what point did you realize that it was more than just that one thing that happened to your arm? At what point did you realize it was more than just, I can't pick up my purse?
So when I realized I couldn't pick up my purse in my right hand, I tourniqueted the arm with the sweatshirt, and I opened my mouth as I went to the foyer, and I just had blood and teeth and gums just stream down my face. It was a shock. For one, at this point, I wasn't in any pain. And that survival instinct kicked in really, really fast. Like, my whole thing was like, I need to get help. I need to get it now. And it was like this, you know, like the self-talk in my brain was like, breathe, keep your eyes open, keep going, get help. And it's a really interesting feeling. It's something that's very, very guttural and almost, you know, it's part of our chemical makeup. Like, we will do anything to stay alive.
Well, you didn't have a lot of control over how this became publicized. The fact that the media chose to cover this shooting, the fact that they talked about you, that they talked about Kenneth. But you've also said that initially you felt embarrassed about what happened. What was embarrassing for you about what happened?
It was the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me. You know, for one, this is like an intimate, private, sacred relationship. You know, that he just happened to be a charming, intelligent man who was violent. A lot of my advocacy was me just trying to articulate everything that happened. And discovering myself and discovering, okay, well, what, you know, I'm a blues singer and now I'm the girl that got shot in the face by my boyfriend. And I don't want to be just that. And so, you know, it really kind of helped me cope a lot with not only the excruciating physical pain, but also, you know, the emotional pain of having someone you love and not even be able to fathom why they would do that to you.
Is there a song that you'd like to sing now that explore some of what you just told me about speaking for yourself versus feeling embarrassed by what happened?
There's a song I wrote called Make Up for That Day. And I remember the first time that I saw a mirror in the hospital. They wouldn't let me see a mirror for the first 10 days I was in there. And I was petrified and I had tears coming down my face. And I remember putting makeup on in the mirror and how empowering that was for me, but also knowing like, well, it's not like it's going to like hide it, but it made me feel more like myself to like put on the same makeup that I'd had and put on regular street clothes. So it's a nod to that. And it's a nod to what it means to be a woman and have your name dragged through the mud and have it be on everyone's list while you're coping with that heartbreak and trying to be yourself again.
Makes me so- 22.
I'm talking with Courtney Weaver. She's a blues singer here in Seattle. Her new record is called Paper Tiger. We're also talking about how she became a gun control advocate here in Washington State. You described becoming an advocate for gun control measures as accidental, or at least you've heard other people describe it as becoming an advocate accidentally. And you actually helped pass a measure here in Washington State that limited people with domestic abuse violations, limiting them from having access to guns. But while you were testifying in the state legislature, you told our producer, Matt Martin, you actually overheard some lawmakers say that you should be, and I'm using air quotes here for people who aren't in the room, you should be acting more like a victim.
Yeah.
What did you think when you heard that?
I kind of laughed to myself. I think there's a certain stigma that comes with the idea of a domestic violence victim. One of the first things I did with the press was I told them to change whenever they were covering me to survivor, not victim, which they do most of the time. And every survivor I've ever met has been incredibly strong. You know, they've survived things that you know, you can't even imagine.
Why did you decide, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, and I'm going to use it to try and change something?
Well, I think a lot of people's approach with domestic violence is if they ignore it, it'll just go away. And there's a detachment and otherness and stigma that comes with that. And I still face it. I know it's just part of what I'm doing right now, because it's a topic that makes people uncomfortable. I mean, literally, it hits close to home, because most people have domestic violence in their family. Most people's mothers experienced it. Most people, you know, and it's very it's very hard. A lot of people want to brush it under the rug and not confront it. I mean, I've experienced it with my own family members and my family. I honestly feel it's my purpose as a vocalist and as a survivor that because I had such small margins to survive, I have this duty to talk for all the women who are shot to death every month. They don't have a voice anymore. And I shudder to think of what my narrative would have been in the paper, what would have happened if I had died. And so the biggest thing that has brought life back to me and allowed for me to integrate my, you know, blues singer self with my advocacy self is just vocalizing it.
What's an example of a song that you think does all of those things? I mean, music can definitely do that, but it's a lot for a single song to be able to do.
We have this song called Stop the Violence, Start the Healing.
Stop the violence, start the healing. No more silence. How you feeling? Stop the violence, start the healing.
What is it about being a blues singer that allows you to get stronger when you talk about this?
You know, the blues began as spirituals that slaves were singing in the fields, and they were, you know, singing about their heartache, and that was the way for them to process. And it was a way for me, even before I got shot and I didn't want to talk about my own domestic violence, to talk about these difficult, painful things in a way that's really easy for people to go along with and follow.
Changes in the air, people are starting to care. What are we fighting for? 'Cause I've been keeping score.
It's interesting to think about the person you described yourself as before the shooting. You said you were someone who spoke your mind and said what you thought, but you did not talk about what was happening in your relationship. And now you have multiple venues and multiple ways to talk about that so that other people can hear and they can reflect on what's happening in their own lives. What do you get out of being able to do that?
It's really liberating. You know, no one can keep a secret like a domestic violence survivor, especially in the thick of a relationship. And there's always that feeling. Like, I don't really get it too much anymore, but, you know, it's like, I'm not supposed to tell you these things. I'm really not supposed to be talking about that.
What does it mean to you to be able to know that you've ditched that idea that you're not supposed to talk about this? This should stay a secret.
It really feels like it's a instinctual thing.
What do you mean?
Since I started talking about it, I just feel like it wasn't really a choice. That it just was like, you have to do this. You must keep doing this, no matter what, no matter how down you get or how many people try to tell you to stop. And it's cool to meet other people who are starting to talk about it and feel open about it. And it's, you know, making more and more people feel like it's acceptable to say these things.
How are you different as a result of understanding that it's absolutely acceptable to say these things?
In some ways, I think it softened me and made me seem more human. And I think in other ways, it's allowed me to really connect with people because I'm, you know, exposing a deep, painful vulnerability in a way that's not full of, you know, doom and it doesn't have a sad ending. Like it has a happy ending. You know, when people criticize me or judge me or send me hate mail, I'm much more likely to have belief in my convictions and know that in my heart that this is why I'm alive.
Courtney Weaver is a blues singer. She's a domestic violence survivor. She has a new album out called Paper Tiger, holding a record release party for that in August, August 21st at Columbia City Theater. She talked with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.